The title of my message is Be a Spiritual Heretic with Heretics in Quotes. You'll see why I put it in quotes in just a little bit. So for me, at the core of each of us is basically a number of things, but one of the most important things at the core of each of us is our belief system. It's around that belief system that a large part of our personalities are formed. The reality is, at least in part, it points to the relative success of fundamental spirituality. You see, one of the real strengths of fundamentalism is that it provides this stable core belief system. It's much easier to believe you understand who you are and to be stable when your core belief system is unfluctuating. So, for folks like liberals and progressives, this is a little more difficult because the walls around our core belief systems are a little less rigid and a little more willing to flex. And as a result, when new information presents itself, we're more likely to take it in and change. Which means that we, more frequently than fundamentalists, are reshaping our understanding of who we are and how we relate to society, even in small ways. And that just isn't true for fundamentalists. The protective walls that they place around their core beliefs are tall and rigid, and with good reason, though. We have to keep in mind, these core beliefs are so much more to them than ideas or ideals. They are identification and identity. It's their identification and their identity. Who each of us understand ourselves to be is formed around those things. When you challenge a specific belief, you are also, in small part, challenging who the person understands themselves to be. The more fundamentalist that their belief system is, the more likely they are to feel like you're questioning who they understand themselves to be. Now, for fundamentalist Christians, it's even more complicated than that. In both sort of direct and subtle ways, they believe that their salvation is in part dependent upon being correct on issues of faith. Intellectualism, progressivism, on the other hand, invites the consistent assessment of the correctness of a person's belief system. See, that right there is dangerous ground for fundamentalist Christians. When you confront them on a particular belief system, you're not just confronting them on an idea that they have held on to more rigidly for a long time than most other folks, but you're actually confronting them, and this is important, you're confronting them at the core of who they understand themselves to be. For them, it's those core beliefs upon which their salvation hangs in the balance, at least in part. So questioning it doesn't just question the thought, but for them, it puts into question a lifetime of holding on tightly to the thought, which, for them, puts into question where they will spend the rest of eternity. When you take all of that into consideration, it is really not surprising that most fundamentalist Christians react negatively to or avoid altogether intellectually questioning their core belief system. For that matter, it's not surprising that fundamentalists of all camps, of all sorts, tend to have a less than positive reaction to progressivism. They just want to be right. And the rest of us just hope to sort out some small version of the truth. And it's a subtle difference, but it is an important difference. Here's the thing, though. I believe that the ability to objectively question your belief system, maybe particularly the things which we have been told that we must conform to, basically the dogma, I believe that the ability to objectively question your belief system is essential to having a healthy spiritual life. Unfortunately, when you do that kind of thing out loud, you tend to be labeled a heretic. As a matter of fact, I have been called a heretic so many times that I've decided to just embrace it. So I even wrote a blog series on the taking on the essential Christian beliefs, and I just went ahead and titled it, "This Collar is Too Tight, Heresies from a Southern Minister." Now, here's the thing. Heresy isn't the virgin-sacrificing, devil-worshipping, religion-destroying thing that centuries of Inquisition and authoritarian brainwashing have taught us to believe. It seems to me that we would all be better off understanding the word heresy by going back to the original Greek meaning of the word, which is translated as to choose or to go one's own way. Put more simply, heresy is a word that people who tend to label other folk, that people tend to label other folks with when they are exercising their own free will, exercising their ability to choose. And for the reasons that I mentioned when I began, fundamentalists tend to get all anxious and unhappy when someone else is exercising their ability to make choices for themselves. In fact, in the eyes of the more fundamentalist wings of established religion, choosing your own way, heretic, choosing your own way, rather than blindly following theirs, is a horrendous crime and grounds sometimes for persecution. The history of both Christian and Islam is stained with the blood of those tortured and killed because they committed the unforgivable sin of questioning the answers handed down by the religious authorities. What's so strange about all of this is that many of the religions that stand over and against the mindful questioning, the ones today that are doing that, they were founded by folks labeled as heretics and dangerous outlaws. Jesus was crucified for blasphemy. Muhammad was chased out of Mecca. These men were all about questioning tradition and establishing forms of authority, questioning tradition and established forms of authority, which is exactly what the fundamentalists claiming to follow them hate. In reality, all religions were started because someone left an existing tradition and created their own. But instead of honoring their example, most of the followers turn their perspectives, those founders' perspectives, into one of dogma and typically then they use it in a way that requires other folks to fall in line and conform, exactly the opposite of what their founders would have wanted them to do. Now, this is not true, of course, for all religions, all spiritual practices. Buddhism, for example, is a tradition that allows and encourages freedom. Lin Chi, a Chinese Buddhist teacher, once said, "If you encounter the Buddha, kill him." Kill the Buddha? Seriously? Kill him? I mean, that's what they did to Jesus, but really? Kill him? Of course, you know, Lin Chi wasn't talking about a literal death. He was simply trying to teach to reject the dogmatism that inevitably results once we put our teachers up on a pedestal. So precisely because Lin Chi loves Buddha, he warned people against turning him into an object of worship, which unfortunately is a warning that has gone somewhat observed by many Buddhists. On his deathbed, Buddha told his followers, "Do not accept what you hear by report. Do not accept tradition. Do not accept a statement because it is found in our books, nor because it's in accord with your belief, nor because it is the saying of your teacher. Be lamps unto yourselves." Similarly, one of the great teachers of Taoism, Chuang Tzu, wrote, "The torch of chaos and doubt This is what the sage steers by. The torch of chaos and doubt. This is what the sage steers by. The point here is that many of the greatest spiritual teachers stand over and against what we hear from many fundamentalist religious leaders who threaten sort of hellish punishments unless we obey their creeds and obey their dogma. Sadly, many religious people have an irrational fear of questioning what they hold most sacred. And because they think that certain beliefs are desirable, they'll come up with these twisted rationalizations to justify those beliefs against any possible attack rather than taking a simple, honest look at them. They're sort of terrified at the thought that if they begin doubting their certainties or looking at them with even a critical eye, the entire castle of values upon which they have based their lives, it'll just come tumbling down. And because of it, they try their hardest to avoid facing any facts that would force them to change their minds in any way. That course of non-action, of sticking unquestionably to their beliefs, may feel safe, may feel reassuring, but ultimately it only hurts in the long run. The truth is that testing our most sacred values against other different options will only strengthen us. We really have nothing to lose by being open-minded. It ends up being a win-win situation. Think of it this way. If we test our most sacred values against all kinds of different options, two things can happen. One, we find out that all the other alternatives are not for us as effective as what we already had in place in the first place. So that's a win. It increases our self-confidence by reinforcing the feeling that we're on the right track. Plus, when we engage in discussions with others who hold different ideas, our arguments and understandings about our own beliefs will be stronger. They'll be more effective because we've explored many of the counter-arguments and understand where they fall short. Two, if instead we find out that our beliefs were not as good as we at least first thought they were, and there are better alternatives out there, then that's a great result as well. It's another win because we have a chance to correct our spiritual path and head towards a path that's better and more fulfilling for us. And in both cases, the positive outcome begins with questioning core beliefs. The very thing that will cause us to be labeled heretics. In the end, untested beliefs are not a treasure which we should preserve, but rather they can be a cage that we have to escape from. They keep us prisoner of our own opinions, and they prevent us from facing reality for what it is. As Nietzsche puts it, I am a man who wishes nothing more than daily to lose some reassuring belief, who seeks and finds his happiness in this daily greater liberation of the mind. Instead of thinking, it must be good because I believe it, we need to make the move to I believe it because it is a good belief. When we do, will we be labeled heretics? Well, it wouldn't be surprising. But remember, in the truest understanding of the meaning of heretic, it is a person who is choosing to go their own way, which is part of the journey to self-discovery, which, as it turns out, is one of the essential pieces of a healthy spiritual life. So, I invite you to be a spiritual heretic, to embrace it, and to discover a freedom of a wide open, inquisitive spiritual life.
Good morning. I'm David, and I also applaud your comments. And I had a thought about two thoughts. One of them was another analogy you can use for practice changing, and that is physical muscles. Sure. If you don't exercise them, if you don't have them and subject them to some weights, they literally go away. I can tell you from bad experience. So that's one analogy. The other one is, I'm thinking maybe the whole, you said the people you're labeling fundamentalists are terrified about where they're going to spend eternity.
Yeah, fundamentalist Christians.
I think that, and I'm assuming that a lot of that comes from this idea of heaven or hell, you know, you're going to be, but it seems to me that might be something for another sermon by you to talk about. Well, what are the ideas about, you know, where you're going to go? And because to you, that, I mean, your point is that that's a prime motivator for a whole lot of nasty stuff.
It's true. Good point. Thank you. Yes.
I'm Sue. As someone who really identifies as a progressive and someone who in my professional life wrote many, many, I published many papers about the importance of asking questions, not just of other people, but of ourselves. I found myself really troubled in recent months seeing people on the left becoming so self-righteous, and the discourse that emphasizes the us and them and why they are wrong and we are right. And I, you know, I've been at two meetings this past week where progressive folks shouted down people speaking from their hearts about different values. This really troubles me. And I think one thing that I think can be helpful that I've heard in folks that are looking for ways to bring folks into dialogue with each other is that when people get together, that the interviewer asks each person, what is one thing about your own beliefs that troubles you, and what is one thing that people on the other side believe that you resonate with or find admirable? And I just think that it is so hard. I mean, I think we get into this self-righteous place because we feel attacked and we have to defend ourselves. But that very thing makes us illegitimate in terms of living what we say we believe, which is questioning ourselves. And in reality, I think we are all both believers. You know, those of us on the left have to be believers as well as skeptics and recognize when we are doing each and not just cheer for people who think like we do.
Are there others?
I'm Wayne's wife dating friends with that. Andrea out of here, but the translation by choice kind of hit me because I did not know that. And it brought to mind a phrase that I heard many years ago.
I'm sorry. Okay, it freaks me out. Wayne Didi here. The translation of the word heresy as choice made me think of a German phrase, which I'm sure that people speak German here, but it's Ich steige aus und mach mein eigenes Show. Okay. I think that's from a movie or something. But basically it says, I think, literally, I'm climbing out, I'm going to make my own show, which I always personally translated to, I'm stepping out and make my own thing, whatever the thing is. And I've probably done and said many heretical things over the course of my life, but it is a huge choice. And anybody, myself, goes through periods of absolutely accepting what it has been suggested that we accept.
Yeah.
And then you get something happens and you can't accept it. So that was a choice. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Are there others?